Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, y'all. This is Joe Tower, and here's a little treatise on some changes we're making at Tales of Melanfolly to better reflect what we think y'all want, and also what the fuck is going on in the world around us. Tales of Melanfolly will now alternate the lineups of its live shows with all male and all female performers. And, I don't know, there may even be periods of time where we'll be predominantly or forever female. We choose to be on the right side of this goddamn revolution, guys. In addition, we're adding a bonus feature to our podcast. Each month, we'll release our usual 2 new storytelling episodes by 2 new storytellers recorded live at one of our past shows, but also we'll be including a 3rd and an additional episode, a one-on-one conversation between me and a past or current performer who, for whatever reason, needs a little more time at the mic. It'll be a discussion about individual and specific tales of folly, but also the role that both tales and folly play in all of our lives. What we have to deliver is good stories. Stories that offer a certain brand of shameful relatability. Shame around the choices we've made in our lives that aren't the proud, valiant, admirable choices, but rather the self-serving and stupid choices of the asshole, the idiot, the buffoon, of the simple-minded human who, in that particular moment, was just trying to get through, man. It doesn't matter who you are, you've all got a real good story about doing dumb shit. Once again, from our rad show this last March at Three Clubs, I'd like to present to you Miss Angela Gullner, an LA-based multi-hyphenate who hosts the Unbridled Female Forward podcast Welcome to the Clambake, and is also the actor, writer, producer behind Hot Topic dark comedy series Binge. In the tale you're about to hear, Angela talks about walking that fine line when you are indeed yes all women, but there's just that one chick who keeps fucking with your shit. Here's Angela Gullner's tale of female folly.
Women! Anything, women! Aren't women great? Women are awesome! And now I'm going to tell you about the biggest cunt I ever met. Dorothy. What a bitch. I hated Dorothy. She's the only woman that I have actively fantasized about sticking the tips of my grubby little fingers into her scalp and just ripping the skin right off of her heaven-kissed face. And she was gorgeous, utterly. Yeah, she had one of those fucking faces that keeps on giving, you know, just silky brown hair, big green eyes, curves you could just nap on. She was the type of woman that at only 20 years old walked around like she was always on the verge of a fucking orgasm. Well, I, a recovering Catholic in the midst of a vicious eating disorder, prayed I wouldn't go to hell when I started finger banging and didn't have my own orgasm for 2 long, dry, pent-up years. My friend once described Dorothy as the most persistently sexual woman he ever encountered. I say he about nailed it, and 2 weeks later, he nailed her. Fuck her. I wanted to fuck her. I mean him. I wanted to fuck him. Or her. Or anybody, really. I just really wanted to have sex. That's not the point. Even worse than her sex appeal, Dorothy had the audacity to be fucking smart and talented. She was really talented. In our small student body of less than 2,000, she was basically white Beyoncé. And it probably didn't help that we had the habit of dating the same men. Most of them are gay now, or science teachers, so the joke's on us, really. But still, you know, they liked her more. They stayed with her longer. She was like this upgraded version of me that actually put out. And if that sounds like slut-shaming, it's absolutely jealousy. I was also dating her high school sweetheart when we met. And I went to her sister's wedding as his date. Whatever, that's neither here nor there. So we met sophomore year at my small Midwestern college. Dorothy was a transfer student, and in less than a week, the role in our tiny little theater department that I had so meticulously cultivated, that of high-achieving but adorably charming girl next door who gets conveniently bi-curious when drunk. Isn't that fun? Dorothy picked up and put on without a second thought. Before the first semester of the year, I didn't know my place in the theater community anymore. I was supposed to be Juliet. I was supposed to win the monologue competition. Yes, we had a monologue competition. I was supposed to have the unfettered access to the limited supply of straight boys and lesbians in our department. I mean, it wasn't fair. So when Dorothy's high school sweetheart dumped me first semester, I was devastated for reasons far deeper than lost love. He was all I had on her, and it was gone, and my fears of being lesser than were confirmed. Well, it was then that Dorothy did something astonishing. She slipped a note under my dorm room door with a simple message scrawled on it. It said, "Don't sweat the breakup, Ange. We're too good for that prick. He can't handle powerful-ass women like us." Like us? powerful-ass women like us? Like you and me? Like friends? Like like we're kind of like one and the same? What? Suddenly everything changed. We were on the same team. We were two women, scorned but strong. We were feminists, girlfriends, hoes before bros, and all that garbage. I had these visions of Angela and Queen Dorothy forever. Or, you know, Queen Dorothy and Angela, if I'm being honest. But the order of the names doesn't really matter if she likes me, right? I was high on Dorcane, and I snorted that bitch every chance I'd get. Senior year, we moved in next to each other. We shared a room. We shared a common space. We shared late-night talks, shower beers, gossip. I tried to make out with her on several occasions. It never quite worked. You know, girl stuff. And I don't remember when the bottom dropped out of our impossible homance, when the withdrawal set in. It happened gradually, you know, in the small things. I'd get stood up for lunch dates. My closest friends were suddenly always by her side. I'd have a date with a guy or I'd confess to her a crush, and a few days later, I swear I'd hear his voice on the other side of her bedroom door. But the last straw was when she sabotaged my closest friendship. Charlie was, like most theater boys, struggling with his sexuality. We tried dating. Surprise, it didn't work. And when Charlie came out as a science teacher and we tried to remain friends, Dorothy inserted herself into our friendship. She poisoned him against me, convinced him that I was toxic. And he believed her. Charlie and my friendship never recovered. And I wasn't toxic. Okay, I'm pretty sure I would know if I was fucking toxic, right? I mean, maybe I was like a little obsessed, like perhaps I was like a titch bit possessive, and yeah, maybe I stalked her social media a bit too much, grilled her friends a bit too aggressively about who she was seeing, where she was going, what she was doing, what she was wearing, and yes, on several occasions, I did sit with my ear to her bedroom door, sobbing, desperate to hear the vile things she was saying about me, but she did say things. Okay, and they were probably vile. But I couldn't hear them, so I wouldn't actually know. I had no choice. I had to save the theater department from her. Senior year, I made it my duty to turn the world against her. I would make them hate her like I hated her if it was the last thing I fucking did. "Beware," I said to countless people and shrieked at many who wouldn't listen. "Beware of Dorothy. Turn your innocent, ignorant, beguiled backs on the evil queen of mean before she ruins you like she ruined me." After graduation, Dorothy did something else astonishing. She sent me another letter. That scheming, cupcake-scented Barbie doll took the time and consideration to find my out-of-state address and handwrite me a 6-page long letter. How did this happen between us? I've never been treated so poorly or so cruelly by another woman before. You broke my heart, and I don't understand, and I don't know how to move on. Shit. I never wrote her back. I'm actually not sure that I finished reading her letter. All this time, I thought I was the victim, and it turns out she was suffering too. I can't tell you how many times in the past 9 years I have made it my New Year's resolution to remember that her success is my success is our success. Girl power. And I never fucking can. Because if I'm being honest, I still hate that fucking bitch, Dorothy. I hate her face and her hair and her brain and her ambition and her grace. Just like I hate all of you. All of you fucking bitch Dorothys that I aspire to be and fail to be. All of you beautiful, successful little slut baskets taking my seat at the lady table, which is much smaller and whiter than the gentleman's table. And it's actually more like a side table or a stool in an alley with like rats crawling underneath and we're all cold and huddling, saying, "Please, sir, I want some more." And they're like, "No, bitch, get out of here." This distinctly female disintegration of a friendship. This Olympic level lady pissing match. The ultimate trick of the patriarchy. I have tried many times to write that bitch Dorothy back, and I just can never get my heart to get into it. But for now, Dorothy, you angelic snow bunny, you disappointing care package, wherever you are, just kidding, I know exactly where you are. You're in Chicago, you're thinner than ever, and you have no age lines on your face. I'm glad you're fucking happy and kicking ass, you glorious Steinem's wet dream. I love you, and I hate you, and I always will, you contacular dumpster fire. You overgrown Aphrodite. You emergency back alley abortion. You glorious, beautiful, mystical goddess. Love, kisses, and catfights. The bitch Angela. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Tales of Male Folly. If you dug what you heard, please subscribe and or rate us below. If you hated what you heard, tell us what we did wrong so we can try to appease your unreasonable expectations. JK haters, Tales of Male Folly, the podcast, is a Hatbeard production that can also be found on the Extra Credit Network. It's produced and hosted by me, Joe Tower, and executive produced and edited by Brian Weiss. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Pippa, and Spotify. Our live show is produced at various venues in and around LA by me, Joe Tower, with the help of Alex Gradette and Brian Weiss. It's presented in partnership with Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Los Angeles. For even more details and where and when to see one of our live shows, peep us at www.talesofmalefolly.com or email talesofmalefolly@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram, but not Twitter. Twitter is for trolls and white supremacists. We all know that. Twitter is dead. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.